Christian integrity demands that we control our temper and that we check our anger. What does the scripture tell us about it and why? Let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we have been talking over the past several sessions about various aspects of Christian integrity. Today we want to address the issue of anger and how a Christian is to conduct himself in checking anger and malice toward others. There's probably no area of personal conduct in which a Christian can do more to do damage to the body of Christ than in publicly or privately losing his temper to such a degree that anger is uncontrolled. The Bible has much to say about that. In Psalm 37, verse 8, we read, "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath." What is that saying to us? Well, it's saying, walk away from it. Do not give a place to it. Why? What we have to understand is that words are spiritual. It harms the cause of Christ, and moreover, gives people a nonverbal message that if that's the way Christians behave, I don't want any part of it. Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian cannot have anger. As a matter of fact, Psalm 4, verse 4 says, "In your anger, do not sin." Scripture also says, do not let the sun set on your anger. So there is a type of righteous anger, which is also referred to in the scripture as righteous indignation, which even Christ himself demonstrated when he got angry with the money changers in the temple and threw them out and turned over their tables, and also when he scolded the Pharisees. But that's an anger which is justified by righteousness, and it does not continue on. When it continues on, when it's full of wrath, when it's full of resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness, and it is continually directed at another, that's when anger becomes a sin. Lamentations 3:40 says to us, let us examine our ways. In other words, as Christians, we are to look at ourselves. We are to assess ourselves, our conduct, our feelings, our behaviors. We're to hold ourselves accountable. The New Testament scripture says that if we judge ourselves, God will not judge us. In dealing with anger, James admonishes us in James 1:19 and 20, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. God desires us to have a righteous life, but this verse tells us that it can never be brought about by anger. It also tells us how to control our anger. The Holy Spirit, through James, says, firstly, be quick to listen. Become a listener. Two, be slow to speak. And three, be slow to become angry. Some people are explosive, and you say, well, how in the world could I possibly be slow to anger if I respond to emotional triggers that set me off? Well, firstly, if you are hot-tempered, the first thing that you should do is learn to walk away from situations. And if you cannot say anything good, if you cannot say anything holy, if you cannot say anything just, if you cannot say at the moment anything merciful or compassionate, say nothing. Learn to walk away and cool down. Learn to become objective about the circumstance. When the emotions take hold, reason is blinded. Did you get that? Let me say it one more time. When the emotions take hold, reason is blinded. Now, the emotions are part of the soul, or the soul man. That's psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, in the Greek of the New Testament, and it means the mind, the will, and the emotions. Mind, will, and emotions. Now, there is an aspect of the soul which is called the flesh, and anger is directly related to the works of the flesh. A lot of people think that the flesh refers to the human body. No, that word is soma in the Greek, S-O-M-A. The word flesh is the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X, in the New Testament. And the Greek word sarx refers to an aspect of the soul life, an aspect of the mind that agrees with sin. In other words, a lifestyle of thinking. And to respond with anger can become a lifestyle of thinking in many Christians. Most of the time, there's a trigger, and that trigger is offense, and offense is the bait of Satan. It's a setup from the enemy. Taking offense is the bait of Satan. It opens the door to the devil. Paul speaks of this by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Listen to what he says. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What's the implication of that scripture? The implication of that scripture is that if you hold on to your anger, you are giving the devil a foothold in your life, a foothold in your thinking. I promise you, my friends, he will use it to his advantage. Listen to what Paul says in Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men. Notice the first part of that verse. Make every effort to live in peace. Make every effort. Now, what this says is that we must participate in the control of our conduct. We must participate and conduct ourselves with integrity in line with the Word of God when it comes to something like anger or loss of temper even. In Proverbs 14:17, we read, "A quick-tempered man does foolish things." If you repeatedly are quick-tempered and you repeatedly do foolish things before others, particularly non-believers who may know you're a Christian, what does that make you look like as a Christian? What does that make the body of Christ look like? What does that make the cause of Christ look like? For that reason alone, as Christians, when we have an anger problem, the first thing we have to do is face it head-on. Tackle it. Determine in your heart to conquer it and to put it in its place. You see, you cannot conquer what you do not confront, and you cannot confront what you do not identify. Did you get that? Let me say it one more time. You cannot conquer what you do not confront, and you cannot confront what you do not identify. So the first step is to identify and acknowledge that there is an anger issue there. The second step is to determine to walk in the Word of God, which will cause you to overcome it. The next thing that has to be done is to yield the issue to the Holy Spirit. New Testament Scripture says, "Cast all of your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you." Now, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, we read that at the cross, we were circumcised of heart. What does that mean? It means that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the finished work of the cross, cut out from us all unholy habits, behaviors, reactions, sins, habitual sins, etc. The last words that came out of his mouth is, "It is finished." The work of salvation is finished. The word salvation in the Greek of the New Testament not only means being saved from sin, it also means healing, and it also means deliverance. You see, you and I were delivered from problems like anger nearly 2,000 years ago by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the only thing that is left in our life to do is to repent of our sin, including anger, and to take possession of what Jesus has already done for us. And by the way, the whole kingdom operates that way. We have to take possession of it. How did you get saved? How did you get born again? You said, "I want that," and you went after it. And you faith confessed salvation, and it came to you. Well, the whole kingdom operates that way regarding healing, regarding deliverance, regarding salvation, regarding circumcision of the heart. We have to faith confess to possess. And so, faith confession acknowledges those things that are not as if they were. And so we begin with repentance, acknowledging the problem, presenting it to the Lord, giving it to Him, and then faith confessing every day, even several times a day. I take possession of my freedom from anger by the finished work of the cross and decree it applied to my soul life in Christ Jesus' name. By the finished work of the cross in Christ Jesus' name. And we can faith confess to possess because Hebrews 4:14 says, "Hold fast your confession of faith." Now, how will it work? Well, Hebrews 3:1 tells us that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession, of our faith-filled words. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." How do we come boldly to the throne of grace, which is in heaven, where Father God sits on the throne of grace? How does that happen? How do we achieve that? Well, it says in Hebrews 3:1, Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. We start faith confessing our freedom, our deliverance, our circumcision of heart. And we keep confessing and confessing According to Hebrews 4:14, hold fast your confession of faith. Some of your Bibles say profession of faith. The word profession and confession is identical in the New Testament Greek. In other words, keep confessing it until you see the manifestation. Circumcision of heart by the finished work of the cross. Yes, Jesus goes into the Holy of Holies in front of Father God. He is high priest of our confession, and he says to Father God our faith-filled words that fulfills the law of the Spirit of life in Christ in Romans 7 and 8, which is the law of grace. Father God sits on the throne of grace. He is a faith God. He hears our faith and our trust on him for deliverance and circumcision of the heart. It pleases Father God, and he releases the grace to overcome upon us and our circumstances, that we can overcome anger or anything else. And how is it done? By our faith confession on Christ and his finished work of the cross. You can't ask God to deliver you from anger, or any other issue for that matter. He already has. It is finished. The work of salvation is finished. The only thing that remains for us to do is to take possession of it, and then to walk in it. And guess what happens? Time passes, and as you keep confessing your freedom from anger by the finished work of the cross, what you will discover is that over time, the anger starts falling to the wayside by itself. Why? Because it is Christ in you who has to do it, not your self-effort. No. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who is at work in you to do his will and good pleasure. Now, if we understand applying the principle of circumcision of the heart to all of our unhealthy habits, reactions, and behaviors, we can walk in that newness of life that Christ has promised all of us who receive him into their hearts by faith, by trusting on him. There is nothing profitable in giving anger a place in your life. It is the ministry of Satan. In John 10:10, Jesus said, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It will lead you into sin. Proverbs 29, verse 22 says, an angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. But Psalm 4, verse 4 says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, what that means is it's possible to express anger. It's human to express anger. But that anger has to be a righteous indignation. A righteous anger, in other words, to a legitimate offense that we do not hold on to. Did you get that? Let me say it one more time. That we do not hold on to. Okay? We make our point and we let go and we get on with God. Just be sure that the anger is scripturally justified. And don't get legalistic about it. Don't become the Holy Spirit police. The Holy Spirit doesn't need your help to clean up the church or to please the church. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Anger and malice are first cousins. The Holy Spirit says, get rid of them. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, we read, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that if you keep demonstrating your anger repeatedly to people, it's going to look nonsensical and you're going to look foolish. You see, if you repeatedly explode in front of others and respond to triggers that are words that set you off, and other people don't respond that way, particularly other Christians, the very first thing you have to ask yourself is, what is it about me that makes me respond that way? And that sometimes may take the help of a pastor or a Christian counselor to explore the things of your past or present that are triggers and that need to be dealt with. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, we read, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And finally, in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 17, we read, "The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools." Now let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Did you know that He can deliver you from anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, hate, spite, every negative emotion? Did you know that salvation is a free gift? Did you know that there is no pit so deep that Jesus cannot reach down and lift you out? Did you know that God wants a relationship with you, that He loves you? Maybe you have never been told in the past by anyone that you are loved. God's love is faithful. And yes, God takes people with bad pasts and gives them new beginnings. God takes people with bad pasts and gives them great futures. And God wants to do that for you. God wants to deliver you from anger and any other problem that you have in life that debilitates you or habitually drives you to desperation or beats you down. If Christ has a way into your life, Christ has a way out of your circumstance. Will you receive Him today? I ask Father God to call you to the Lord Christ Jesus. And if you will reach out to Him, you will discover that it is self-proving. Jesus will reveal Himself to you as a living person. And I promise you, my friend, Ramakrishna can't do that. Muhammad can't do that. Confucius can't do that. The Pope can't do that. I can't do that. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can change your life. And it is self-proving. Will you receive Him today? Reach out now and pray this prayer aloud, being willing to turn from your sin.
Say, "Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen."
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or a personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.